Hey, IELTS Nation, Alan Furing here for another edition of the 10 Question Sit Down. I have such high hopes for this one. I think this one's going to be spectacular. The reason is we are not only joining a former Islanders player, but now a broadcaster in the MSG Networks booth and does some work with Amazon Prime as well, the one and only Thomas Hickey. Thomas, welcome into this chair for the 10 Question Sit Down. Thanks so much for doing this. The first question is, it's a tough one. I'm not going to lie. It is. When you look back at your career, do you know what is the best game you've ever played? So not necessarily the most memorable, but the game that you felt that you were at your all-time best.
That's tough. Not because there's so many choices. I'm just trying to think in my head. Definitely at stretches, you know, I think it's the 16 playoffs, I was playing my best. But a single game, there was one in Minnesota. It must have been right around then, probably 2015-ish, and I had a goal, two assists, scored a nice goal, two assists. I think I might have had two, but Clutter took one away from me, said he tipped it. I think it was plus four. It was on the road in Minnesota and just felt like, you know, first time in my career, I was like, I can make an impact offensively or, you know, if I'm feeling it, things open up, and that one always stands out to me. That was a fun night.
When you have a game like that, how does that impact the next little stretch of games?
It was on a road trip as well. So particular in the sense you just sort of get rolling and, you know, less practice time and more traveling on the road game. I think every player is different. Some guys you can tell after a goal or a good game, they can go on a stretch for weeks. I think I was a little less vulnerable to that and sort of just came back to the same approach, but confidence is such a huge part of any player's game. So more confident you are, it just trickles into the next play in the next game.
When you described your goal that night as a nice goal, what do you mean by that?
It was a unique goal. I'll say it was a tip in the high slot. I think Colin McDonald zipped one to me, and I played my offside that game, and I hadn't really played my offside and a long time since like junior, and some instincts came back and I redirected it like in the high slot, top shelf. It was just a weird goal, but a goal that you'd watched NHL games, you don't really see a defenseman score. So that's why it stood out to me.
Fair enough. Who do you feel like is the most underrated player in the National Hockey League right now?
It's a great question. Most underrated player. You know, I think it's easy to say someone like Zach Werenski, but I think he's got the credit that he deserves over the last couple of years. I'll stick local. I think Simon Holmstrom is such a good hockey player. And for those of us that see the Islanders all the time, you go, yeah, he's good. You know, we get to know him, but league-wide, I think other teams see him and other coaches see him and go, wow, I didn't know he was that good. And that's a reputation that probably started last year and will just continue to grow. But I've been talking about him making Team Sweden for the Olympics, and I don't think league-wide he's got that recognition, but I'm really interested to see if Sweden looks at that and goes, yeah, he's not underrated. We think he's that good.
Yeah, I think he's got a chance. Certainly the way he's been playing this season puts him right there in a spot to get some looks. You were a fan favorite. You still are, obviously, now as a broadcaster. You might even be more popular now than you were during your playing career. Let's say a fan comes up to you and wants your autograph. When's the best time for them to do that?
Good question. You know, any day that's not a game day is probably better, but I'm never going to say no, you know, unless the only times are you might be rushing to get to the set, in between segments or something. And it's just a matter of not having a bunch of time, but I invite all fans to come up and say hi. I still, you know, grateful that our fans are the best. They have long memories and they appreciate a certain type of play as much as player. And I've certainly felt that love. So come on over and say hi at any time. I love the interaction.
I've worked with you at the set at UBS Arena, and I've seen firsthand. I mean, I know you're not going to toot your own horn, but I've seen you go out of your way in a work environment to make sure fans are taken care of. And I think there's something to be said for that because not everybody does that.
Well, you know what's funny is because a lot of people, you know, especially in years past when I was on the set with Shannon all the time, a lot of people look at me and go, oh, you're so serious. You're so in the zone and like was trying to get your attention. And for me, I do get in the zone, but I have awful hearing and I can't lip read. And when my ears are in, when you have your IFB in and you're probably listening to the producer or listening to someone else, it's so hard for me to focus on just that one thing. And I think it's funny because a lot of people are like, oh, you seem so serious. I'm like, I don't think I am. I don't feel that way myself. Sometimes I'm just caught in thought and focusing, but it's not for any other reason that I guess I can multitask, but I'm zoned in on something. It's not that I'm so serious and don't have time. So I think that's maybe a misconception, but it's so important to make the time. I mean, we're on TV and that means people are watching, and without them watching from a player's perspective, you know, from a league's perspective, you have nothing without the fans. That's the only reason you play the game and have revenue and have a league and a salary cap and all these things put together. The fans are what makes it. So, you know, for me, a guy that's done playing, to still have that interaction, I'm sure there's a lot of guys that are done with playing that crave that or miss that, not attention, but support that we get.
To your point, without the fans, you know, we don't have a team, we don't have the players, we don't have the locker room. So that's my next question. In the Islanders locker room, have you ever been pranked by a teammate?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely been pranked many, many times.
Are you willing to share a specific story?
You know what? I'm trying to think really specific. You know what? Like a classic one is, would just be like, you'll go to take your helmet off, like you got all your gear on, last thing you're going to do is grab your helmet, then grab your gloves, and oftentimes someone will like put a cup of Gatorade or a water underneath your helmet, so when you pull it off it goes all over your face. Like that's the most common one, but that happens often. I mean, shoe checking used to be massive. You go out on the road and usually you send like one of the rookies and they crawl underneath the table with some ketchup or mayonnaise or whatever it is, put it on someone's nice expensive shoes, and then ding the cups, and later everyone's like shoe check and everyone looks down and someone's got it. I think I only had that once really early in my career. I don't know who did it. And then I think I was exempt from that, thankfully. But I honestly, when I go to eat at a table, this is from the time I was like 15 years old going to play junior hockey, my feet are curled back up to the point that I'm unshoe checkable. So it's definitely stuck with me, all those pranks, yeah.
You figure out the defensive side of going out to dinners there. When you think of athletes outside of hockey, who do you admire the most?
I love golf. The mental fortitude it takes to play that game, I can't imagine, and the repetition and practice. Then guys that go through it and have tough times, like last year Tommy Fleetwood being one of the best players in the world but can't win a tournament, and then blows it a couple times and then finally wins. Like I love those stories of Rory McIlroy, same idea. Obviously one of the, you know, he's a golf great, especially modern day, but guys that fail on the biggest stage and then have their triumph on the biggest stage when you know that it's in their head, I've got so much respect for that. Same goes for NFL quarterbacks. Like I think understanding a playbook is one thing and then executing it is another, and the top quarterbacks in the NFL, it's so much more than physical ability.
When you were a player and you had a really tough night at the rink, what was the best medicine for you to get over that right away?
There wasn't, to be honest with you. You know, I think everyone's got their own disposition, and some guys I admire that, whether it be a bad shift or a bad game, they can leave it there. And I think especially in the NHL, the only medicine is doing it for a long time and understanding that bad games happen, bad practices happen, a bad shift happens, and to know that you're always going to come back to your mean, to that consistent level of you're not being great and you're not being bad. It's just who you are. And it takes a long time to build that up throughout your career. But some guys can have an awful game and shake it off. I was never that way. And I admire that trait. I think it's something that if I was in player evaluation, I'd be looking at those guys with just naturally thick skin or the ability to forget because it's a skill. And in a game, we talked about how mental it is and how much confidence plays into it. So there's that. I mean, for me, when I was playing, coming home to my wife, you know, family's so important. Coming home to my cat that doesn't care if we won or lost, and you know, still wants his routine. Those are all grounding things, and I think a lot of guys would say that the home life is a nice thing to come back to.
It's been a popular answer to that question. Talking with Thomas Hickey here on the 10 questions sit down. Only a couple more, Thomas. When you get out your smartphone and you take a look at some of the apps that you have on it, do you have one app that you think everybody needs to know about?
I'm scrolling through my phone right now looking. Hockey season is so hockey for me. Fantasy football.
Great answer.
Fantasy football app is a constant for me. And as I go through this, I mean, I've got an app called Merlin Bird ID where sometimes I like to listen to the birds and see what bird species it is. It's a little bit nerdy, but I mean, if anything takes you sort of off of your phone and out of your own little world of hockey, sports, travel, which is, you know, all consuming during the season, I guess that would be one that grounds you a little bit and puts you back into nature. So as nerdy as that sounds, I'm a big bird guy, and that would probably be the one that takes me away from where I am, provides a little bit of presence, and one I should probably do more.
That is fascinating to me. I never took you for a guy that just liked to sit down and listen to the birds chirp.
I'm a birder. Yeah, I'm a birder, 100%. You know, people would be shocked if you, like, I feed the birds every day, and if just, you know, Long Island, let's talk about there. You don't think that you can attract all these species of different birds until you put out bird food and realize they'll find it and they'll come, and you'll see the same ones every day. And like, you know, Long Island alone, I mean, Blue Jays, Cardinals, like with stunning birds and woodpeckers. And I could go on, like so many great birds that you don't see unless you start taking an interest in birds. And then you realize like they're unbelievable creatures and they're everywhere. You just got to look for them and listen for them.
Wow. When's the last time you got nervous about anything?
So often. I think that there's nerves before every game, even doing this broadcasting. I love it.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I think the nerves come from, you know, preparation's such a big part of our jobs, and that nervous feeling is a good one because you can check it down with, no, I'm prepared and I've done my homework and I'm excited and this is live and it's all in front of us. What's going to happen? If I lost that feeling, you know, even if it's just momentary, I think we should all live to feel nervous every single day. I think that's what makes people, you know, good at their jobs or enjoy their jobs even more because your body's telling you it's important.
I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit, but either now or when you were a player, what's a question that you got asked or get asked a lot that you're tired of answering?
You know, it's hard. I guess I'll be sensitive to this because now sometimes I ask questions and sometimes you need a good question to evoke a good response. I mean, I think anything that I'm not someone that likes being led in a certain direction. So any leading question or at any time that someone makes a statement and wants you to agree in your own words, I don't want to say it bothers me. I understand it. I've done it myself asking questions. You know, statements in the microphone in your face. I don't think you get the best out of anyone in that situation.
So I went a different route to get a question for you to finish up this interview. And I actually talked with David Riddick the other night in Utah. And he wanted to know, from your perspective, going from being a player at a very high level, now being a broadcaster at a very high level, what was the biggest adjustment that you had to go through? By the way, I didn't know what he was going to ask, and that was actually a pretty good question.
Yeah, I know. I haven't got to meet David in depth. He seems like a fun, goofy guy, and he had asking a deep cutter. So the biggest adjustment for me, I think, just putting yourself out there, you know, being vulnerable and being open, I think is, you know, as a hockey player, you're oftentimes it's the opposite, right? You're sort of guarding yourself, you know, maybe the emotions you're feeling, you want to come off as confident and poised and you have it all together. And a lot of times it's, not the case, and you know, you're keeping it inside. And I think for me moving into this, just being fully open and like, I love the game so much. I'm a hockey nerd, and, not being afraid to just say what's on your mind, say how you truly feel. That would be one thing that I think is a tool that you got to work on and try to get as open as you can. And that was a big adjustment. Yeah.
Yeah. That's an amazing peek behind the curtain. And I hope the fans appreciate that response. You know, great insight there, because it's not easy. And we've seen a lot of players not do as well. But the last question I have for you is, I want a question that I can pass along to our next guest, which will be a coworker at MSG Networks, Shannon Hogan, a question from your perspective. And it can be about work. It doesn't have to be, but something I can pass along to her next.
Shannon, okay. On this road trip, with 5-game road trip, how often will she be late for our MSG Isles rendezvous meetings, meetups, gatherings? I want to know how many times she anticipates herself being late. It's probably about, you know, a two or three per day. So maybe we're looking at like 10 to 15 little times to meet. I want to know how many she's going to be on time for.
And the backstory there is, if it's 5 or 10 minutes late, she feels like she's on time, but everybody has been waiting there for at least 10 minutes prior to that.
Yeah, we give her a hard time. I mean, I think we all understand it. I mean, me personally, with my wife, in hockey as a player, if you're not about 10 minutes early, you're late. And that's quite unique. And we love to give Shannon a hard time about being a little tardy here or there, running on Hogan time. So, yeah.
It's Hogan time, the next interview that we have, and we're going to find out the answer to that and much more. Thomas, this was awesome. Thanks so much.
You got it all. Thank you.